Good morning or afternoon, depending on how quickly we get this upload up online. Today is Thursday, the 21st of May, 2020, and that means that today is the final day of our 40 Days with Jesus journey. Of course, I'm not the person you've normally been hearing deliver these daily podcasts. That job has fallen to our minister and my good friend Tim, who is on the other end of the line. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tom. Nice to hear you again today. And it's great to be able to finish off this series, which has been, I found it very stimulating and very interesting, and I hope others have too. And judging by the feedback we've had, I think many of you have found this really helpful. And it's been an amazing privilege just to think that people are listening in many different places, in many different times. But in through it all, we're trying to come with the same story, the message of these encounters, which the first disciples had with the risen Jesus, which is being quite amazing.
Oh, it's been phenomenal. And we've had people from all over the world. We know of at least 3 continents that have been tuning in. There may be more. We may hit the magical 7, although I'm not sure whether the internet is reaching Antarctica very well, but that's, yeah. And people have been using it for running and ironing, as we heard last night.
Yes.
Depending on how long we go on for, we're either the perfect amount of time for ironing as a replacement for either a half-hour TV show or a 45-minute TV show. But it's been great to hear the journeys that different people have been going on for the last 40 days. We had an amazing get together yesterday evening, so that's Wednesday night, with people from the church who were sharing all sorts of stories of how they've been encountering the risen Jesus over the last 40 days. Whether it's reconnecting with people who they haven't spoken to for 10 years, or being able to talk with neighbours, family, and friends about Jesus, it's just been really encouraging and really actually amazing for us to experience the journey that we've been going on all together as a church family. Today we are finishing the passage that Tim began to speak to us about at the weekend, and it comes from Acts chapter 1. Up to this point, Jesus has been speaking to his disciples in the last moments before he left the earth. And we're going to jump into the passage at verse 6. So this is Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then this is the bit that we're going to be focusing on today in verse 9. "Now after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly 2 men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" And then just to further reinforce this, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, wrote in his own gospel. This is from Luke chapter 24, verse 50. "When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven." What an amazing 2 passages there. And I love the picture that we see here. I tuned in by random onto film 4 on Freeview just a couple of days ago now. And I caught the end of the film Risen. We showed it in church a couple of years ago. And there's all sorts of pictures and images that you can almost imagine. It's such a visual passage, this. But in that scene from the film, Jesus is talking with his disciples. And in that clip, he says, "It's time." And Jesus kind of says his final words to them to go into all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then he simply walks off into the clouds. And it's just this beautiful image of Jesus having given, in a way, his last words to his disciples, his final charge to them. And then he says, "It's up to you. It's your turn now to take this message forwards."
It's a great contrast, and I love the contrast of this moment with Matthew's account in Matthew 28, verse 17, in that passage where Jesus gives them the Great Commission. And Matthew says that they were on the mountain there, and some worshipped him, but some doubted. And there's that sort of uncertainty and confusion, if you like. And it's not that doubt's a bad thing, because doubt is very closely aligned to belief, really, because there is that journey that we're all on. But I love this contrast in Luke, where there doesn't seem to be any doubt anymore, that there seems to be this realization now, having had the 40 days of the encounters and different people meeting Jesus, the risen Jesus in different settings with different experiences, Jesus sort of affirming his resurrection specifically to specific people as well, like Thomas, who obviously had to have a bit of a physical experience, where and Peter, obviously, it was going back to fishing where it all started for him, and how just specific Jesus was for particular people. But now there's this sense that actually we sort of get this now. We understand this. Mm. And this moment is like when they're all of one heart and mind again, and they're experiencing this together, all of them. And it seems as if they've really come to that point of understanding after this 40 days that this isn't the end, that this is just the beginning, really. And it's up to them now. It's like a passing of the mantle to them, of the authority to them, which is very Old Testament as well, of course, when prophets were given the task, you know, when they'd have encounters. And they'd be given the next task. And as much as they were uncertain, many of them, to start with, they took up the challenge because they knew the reality of God's presence and his power at that particular moment. So I love this thing of this confidence that these 11 now have and ready for the next bit of this journey.
I think a lot of the time the disciples will have, much like the Old Testament people, would have thought that, you know, this is amazing and this person is here to stay with us now. But through the Old Testament, we discovered that the prophets came for a period of time, they helped to set things right, and then they gave the people a challenge to say, you know, I'm going to have to go away from here now, you need to keep going with this. And so many times people failed. But there's a real difference in what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is almost saying, I'm going, but you have got all the tools you need to succeed in this. And I really am trusting you with this. If Jesus felt a need to stay with us, I believe he would have done. I think this passage makes it clear to us that it would be possible that Jesus could stay with them. But actually, Jesus is saying to them, look, I'm going to go away from you now, but you have got all the tools, all the equipment, all the skills to push forward with this mission on earth. I mean, I loved this time last year, this exact day last year, actually, going into one of the local primary schools and sharing with them this story of ascension. And curiously, I wonder if you can understand this term. We called it Samsirk Day. Do you have any idea what Samsirk could possibly mean?
So what language is that then, Tom? Is that Greek, Hebrew? Well, Welsh, Stokey.
It could be
any. Is that a Stokey word?
It's not a Stokey word, no. I can spell it out for you if you want. So it's Samtsirhc. Now, people at home, people listening wherever you are, joggers, do you have any idea what it could possibly be talking about here? So Samsirk Day. It's not Greek. It's not any sort of language. It is English.
Go on, Tom. Put us out of our misery before the joggers trip over or jump or bump into a lamppost. Come on.
Yeah. So this was obviously two primary school age kids, and they did get it quite quickly. So I'd hope that you did too. I was saying that Ascension Day is kind of like Christmas, but backwards. So it's Christmas backwards day, really.
Ah, clever is that?
And then it was kind of saying, I talked to them saying, well, what happened at Christmas? Well, Jesus came down to earth, and it was a turning point for us as a people as the whole world. And then Jesus came to the earth. He did all these amazing things, water into wine, stopped a storm from happening, fed 5,000 people, all of the miracles, all of the amazing stuff. And then Jesus died at Easter time. And then for the last 40 days, as you know, we've been journeying, looking at how Jesus proved that he had power over death by coming back to life, the appearances that he had to so many people, to Mary and then others. And the Bible says that over 500 people saw him at the same time. Like, wow, that's so cool. But then we reach this point where the disciples had been seeing Jesus and, you know, they thought that he was going to be with them for a while. And then Jesus turns around to them and says, look, I'm going away from you now. And it's almost like Christmas backwards. That was the way that I described it to them, that this was the opposite of what happened then. Jesus came to earth at Christmas time, but now he was leaving us, and he was leaving us on this earth for good in his physical form. And the disciples probably asked the questions like, why do you have to go? What do you mean about this being filled with God's spirit? And, you know, surely we're not supposed to go and speak to people who are our enemies. But throughout all the experiences that they'd had, all the disciples, the experiences the disciples had had with Jesus, I think they'll have begun to understand what this meant. I think they'll have begun to got the message that Jesus was commissioning them to go to literally the entire world. Whether that was the people that they didn't like. The Samaritans are named. They're people that are named by Jesus, that you need to reconcile yourselves to them. We need to make friends with the people who are from Samaria. There aren't many people that the Bible specifically says you need to go and make up with. I guess it might be people from Stoke and people from Newcastle. We've had this debate, haven't we, a few times. But it's this idea that Jesus was saying to them, look, you're going to have to go and do all these things that we just haven't had time to do up till now. Jesus had a very specific mission field, and he obviously chose his disciples carefully. They had a very wide range of skills, and they were set brilliantly to be able to go and do his mission for him.
And I think this transformation is so important, isn't it? And it's something for each of us, I think, to be challenged by as well. Our confidence, if you like, in the risen Jesus is what gives us that springboard to then go from here. And in Luke's gospel account, in verse 50 and 51 of Luke 24, I think there's a couple of key things there. That Jesus, it says, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them. And it's like there's this continuation, you know, it doesn't just come to a stop. While he was blessing them, he left them. You know, there's this ongoing blessing that God wants to give us. And as we go out, as we take up the challenge, as these first disciples took up the challenge, it just seemed to be enough for them. The sort of the deal clincher, if you like, that it was enough to have God's blessing, and that was what changed them. Because after the blessing, Luke says in verse 52 that as he was taken up to heaven, then they worshipped him. Doesn't seem to be any more doubts. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continued at the temple praising God. You know, there is this momentum now, I think, that they have, that's come from not only seeing the risen Jesus, but also now this sort of almost this final blessing that they knew wasn't going to end. The blessing was going to continue. You know, it didn't have a full stop to it now. They could go confidently in the blessing that God had given them. So, and that Jesus conveyed on them at that point. And I think that that's so important for us to know, that even in some of the fears and doubts we have to fulfill what God's call is on each of our lives, you know, we go with his blessing, and that blessing continues in the moments, in each conversation, in each act of kindness, in each phone call. You know, God blessing it as we do it as a response to his call upon our lives. And then, you know, it's almost as if it takes the weight off our shoulders, that this isn't just about us and our skill and having the right words to speak and doing everything right in the right order. This is about just doing what God wants us to do with his blessing, And you know what? He's going to do amazing things as a result of people who are obedient, who continue to worship him, who have this joy, who praise God. And the outcome of that is that, you know, his kingdom comes a little bit more every single time we do something in his name as well, with his blessing on top of it. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Just to have that confidence and that certainty of his continuing presence with us.
And I love the way that the disciples, you know, it says that they went back to Jerusalem with great joy. Yeah. And why were they going back to Jerusalem? Well, Jesus gave them the command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised. You know, for the disciples, they were already filled with joy, and yet they knew that there was something more to come to them. They knew that Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit to be with them. And we're going to look at that a week on Sunday, aren't we, as we celebrate Pentecost together. And we observe, you know, this amazing filling of the disciples with the Holy Spirit. You know, they're there in Jerusalem with great joy already, but how much greater is that joy going to be when they're filled with God's power? And, you know, we're in this sort of waiting period now, I feel. We're in this point where, as the disciples were doing, they were waiting. And they knew something amazing was coming, but there must have been this kind of moment when, you know, they're back in Jerusalem, they're waiting, and they probably don't know how long they're waiting for. There isn't, the Bible doesn't really say that they know. It says in a few days, but, you know, as many people have debated over the years, a few can mean all sorts. I think there was a universal thing for a while that meant eight. Clearly in the Bible, a few days kind of is thought to mean 10 days. So, you know, there's all sorts of interesting things about that. But it feels at the moment that we're in this sort of waiting time with where we're at. You know, we know what things were like before we sort of entered this lockdown. But now we're in it, and I think the promises that God gives us here remain the same as they were 2 months ago today, and they will remain the same going forwards for us.
And waiting's difficult, isn't it? We all know what waiting feels like, whatever it is we're waiting for. It's interesting, you talked about a year ago today, Tom, and I know exactly what was happening for me a year ago today on the 21st of May 2019. I could make it a competition if people would want to remember, but a year ago today I was waiting for a phone call from Newcastle Baptist Church, funnily enough. Because it was church meeting at Newcastle Baptist Church a year ago today, and it was 2 days after I came to preach with a view. So that was quite a long day, the 21st of May 2019. But it was great to get the phone call. I don't know, what it was, probably about, was it 9 o'clock at night or something like that, I think. I was in the middle of an alpha session at my previous church and waiting for the phone to ring. And I had to excuse myself from the alpha session for a moment. But it's amazing what's happened in a year, isn't it?
Well, what was remarkable is that in that very church meeting, I'm not sure what we're supposed to say about church meetings here, but in that very church meeting, you know, it was amazing for me to be able to talk about what I'd been doing that very morning in the school, and just sort of looking back on the journey that we'd gone through as a church. And I was kind of saying, look, I think this is incredible. The whole discussion that evening had obviously revolved around the pastoral vacancy, and you know, as the decision was made, I just kind of said, look, this is my prayer, and this is the confirmation that I've had that we're being welcomed back into schools to go and preach effectively to children. And I just kind of said, look, this is an amazing moment for us as a church, and this is an amazing point when it felt like we'd done a whole load of waiting. It felt like we'd waited for, well, we'd been waiting for so long, a year kind of, and it was just this moment when it sort of felt like the waiting was sort of coming to an end for us, and that we were beginning to see the fruits of what God was wanting us to actually do going forwards.
And there was that sense of God's blessing again, isn't it? And I think you sense God's blessing when you're sort of in step with what he desires. And, you know, we certainly felt that personally as well, you know, and we had no doubt that this was, you know, the right step, that there was a sense of God's blessing going before us and in the moment, and and propelling us forward as well. You know, I think God's mm-hmm. blessing isn't something that's static.
No.
It is this ongoing sense of his purposes being worked out in our lives. And that has to be true for every one of us. And how we get ourselves into the right place and we're open for this blessing to come. You know, this sense of good things that God has in store. And so as much as we're coming to the end of this 40-day journey, of course, we all know that this is just the next point in the journey, the next stopping point for us to then move on from here. And just as these disciples went back to Jerusalem to wait, then during this time in particular, there is that feeling that we're waiting for what God wants to do next. So I think this is really encouraging for us that at this time we're looking at this particular passage and eager for what God wants to do next in each of our lives and in the life of the church and our community as well. Because the next bit of this passage, of course, is in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Is I love this moment, the two men dressed in white say to the guys, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky?" It's a bit of a comedic moment for me. I always wonder, I mean, where else would they be looking? I mean, something amazing has just happened. Jesus has just gone in a massive cloud, you know, and suddenly, you know, they're left there on their own. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're allowed a moment to just pause
stand
and reflect
there
on it.
Gawping at it, yes.
But this same Jesus, so this risen Jesus, this is not some sort of weird mystical spirit. This is the same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go. And it is this is why this blessing has this ongoing thing, because yeah, there's a promise that Jesus is going to return again. And in the meantime, however long that is, just as you said, Tom, the disciples didn't really know how long they were going to have to wait. We don't know how long we're going to have to wait. But while we're waiting, we've got a job to do. Mm. And there's blessing to convey it into our world, to our families and our friends and our neighbours and our colleagues and our community. So this is the ongoing challenge of God's blessing until the day when he comes back. Then we have got that task, haven't we? We've got that challenge to keep moving on in the spirit to what he's calling us to do. And that's exciting, isn't it? And even whatever the circumstances are, this is our call and this is our challenge as we continue to move forward.
And there's so many great parallels to be drawn with our current position and with regards to even things like church and what the disciples were going through. You know, actually, I think there's a real challenge for us. And when I say church, I don't mean church as in the four walls of Newcastle Baptist Church. I mean the church as in the global community of followers of Jesus. I think there's a real challenge for us here to sort of say, okay, we know that we are going to be able to gather together as a church at some point. We know that that will happen. But the question that we're left with is, okay, how is that going to look? What are we going to take away from it? Are we going to say we're going to go back into the old pattern of doing things and we're going to just hope and pray that people want to come back to church, or that, you know, we go through this whole process of saying we're going to do this, that and the other? And or are we going to be able to say and look back on this time and say, actually, this is a moment when we realise that we're not trapped by the four walls, that each person is able to do discipleship in their own way. It's an amazing possibility, I guess, of what is going to be able to happen going forwards. And I just think, yeah, look, there's so many uncertainties right now. And we'd be lying to you if we said that you shouldn't feel uncertain, because actually that's what we're surrounded by. There are uncertainties. Mm. We are uncertain about when we'll be able to meet together. We're uncertain about what the UK is going to look like in a couple of months' time. But coming back to this passage, the truths remain the same for us, that Jesus has promised us the Holy Spirit. He's promised us his ongoing blessing, and his mission for us as Christians remains the exact same, that we are still to go into all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth with his message.
Yeah, and I think that this time has helped us to understand perhaps that the mission isn't going to change, is it? You know, the mission of the church is set, you know, but it's how we do that, the methods, if you like, that actually are the things that we're being challenged by. And how do we reach, you know, people in this time, in this age, and in the future, in a way that is going to help them to encounter the risen Jesus? And that's the challenge for each of us, isn't it? You know, and for us as the church, as we look ahead to what might happen and how we continue to be relevant into our community. So exciting times,
but
we go with God's blessing, and we need his blessing on us, and we need to seek his blessing, and we need to know what it is that he's leading us to keep listening and to keep being obedient to his call upon our lives as well. So I don't know if people have finished ironing yet or finished their 5K jog yet, Tom. But
five,
I guess...
5 minutes per 5K, 5 minutes per kilometre. It seems a good pace.
Yeah. Getting close then. Getting close to the end. But or knitting. I don't know. How 30 minutes of knitting. I wonder how long a scarf you can knit in 30 minutes.
I'm not going to make any comment on that because Becca's been knitting for what feels like the last 4 weeks on the same scarf. Now, it is an incredible scarf. It is an incredible scarf.
You could watch an episode of Hancock's Half Hour.
Is that what this is, Hancock's Half Hour now?
Well, it could turn into, couldn't it? Or an episode of Terry and June, of course, which we must never forget, the great sitcom Terry and June.
See, I know
Tom,
the tune now.
That's brilliant. I must apologise that Van der Volk was not in the 80s either. I think I said that in last week's podcast. It was actually in 1972 it started, so even further back than I could remember.
Before we get to...
Even though I can remember it.
I would now shout, Tim, stop distracting me. I think before we stray too far from what we've wanted to think about today, I think it'd be good to pray. And I know, Tim, that you've got a prayer on your heart that you're wanting to share with us this morning.
So let's pray. And we've prayed the 40 days prayer after every podcast. Again, just to acknowledge with thanks the work of Dave Smith, the senior pastor at Kingsgate Community Church, whose material we base this series on, and the material that they've released for us to use as well. And let's just pray this prayer on this final, the 40th day of our 40-day journey. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for all that you have revealed to me over the last 40 days. I now ask for your Spirit to help me remember and grow in an ever-deepening relationship with you. My life is yours and always will be. Empower me now to go and make a difference to the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So that's our 40 Days with Jesus journey complete. But as I'm sure you've probably realised by now, this is actually just the beginning of our journey, both as a people of God, as Newcastle Baptist Church, as myself, as Tim. This is just the start of this continuing journey with Jesus. We're going to be continuing to put out weekly podcasts through our NBC Connect. And as part of those weekly podcasts, we're going to continue to spend lots of time in prayer. I'm sure you can't have missed the fact that we are continuing to go through a pretty horrible situation as a country and as a world. And we want to use this time to be able to keep praying into this situation, to keep praying over the coronavirus pandemic. And we're going to spend a bit of time in prayer now. So if you'd like to join us, then please do. Let's pray together. God of all hope, we call on you today. We pray for those who are living in fear, fear of illness, fear for loved ones, fear of other people's reactions to them. May your Spirit give us a sense of calmness and peace. We pray for your church in this time of uncertainty, and we pray for those who are worried about attending worship, for those needing to make decisions in order to care for others, and for those who will feel more isolated by not being able to attend. grant us your wisdom. Holy God, we remember that you have promised that nothing will separate us from your love, demonstrated to us in Jesus Christ. Help us to turn our eyes, hearts, and minds to you today. Amen.
Loving God, if we are ill, strengthen us. If we are tired, fortify our spirits. If we're anxious, help us to consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Don't let fear cause us to overlook the needs of others more vulnerable than ourselves. Fix our eyes on your story and our hearts on your grace. Help us always to hold fast to the good, see the good in others, and remember there is just one world, one hope, one everlasting love, with enough and more for everyone. In Jesus we make our prayer. The one who suffered, died, and was raised to new life, the one in whom we trust these days and all our days. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tim, I'm sure on behalf of the church, I'd like to thank you so much for taking us on this journey for the last 40 days. It's been a pleasure to be able to edit these podcasts for you and also to be able to listen back to them every morning. Generally, the first thing I do as I wake up or as I go for my morning walk with the dog, it's been amidst all the madness of not really knowing what day of the week it is, it's been something that has been the same. It's been something that's been certain every day for me. And it's really helped to restart some of my thinking. It's been a quite difficult time for me to often feel totally engaged with all of God's word at this time. I think I've found that whenever I'm reading the Bible, I've often saying, oh, is there a message in this? Is there something I need to be sharing with people? But it's been really great to just be able to take in the words that Jesus had for us, to have all these encounters with the risen Jesus. And it's just been wonderful to be able to go on this journey with you and with all of you as a church family. It's been great to when I've been speaking with friends who've gone on this journey as well, it's been wonderful to be able to come back to them to reference each of these weekend's talks and the daily podcasts. So thank you. Thank you for taking us through this.
Thanks. Thank you, Tom, and thanks to everyone for listening. I've certainly learnt a lot as I've spent more time in these 6 weeks of encounter as well, and the various encounters that the disciples had. I think it's great to see how human they were, and I think we've been able to associate ourselves very much with each one of these in their various challenges that they faced and how they responded to the risen Jesus. But it's really built my faith, my confidence in who God is, the certainty of resurrection, and I want to keep that very much at the forefront of my mind as I can go with boldly into the next stage of what God has in store for me and for us all as well. So thanks everyone, it's been amazing just to know that you've been out there, and let's continue to keep connected to God and to one another and to other people as well, and let's see what God wants to do next. Cheers, Tom. Thanks so much for that. Bless you.
No, thank you. This Sunday coming up, we've got a very special kind of service. We're going to be chatting to a few different people and looking at some of their journey till this point and kind of looking at this idea of waiting for them and how they are waiting during this time. So don't miss that. That's Sunday morning, 10:30, YouTube or through our church website. And as we said, we're going to continue this journey together, connecting with you through our weekly podcasts. I'm looking forward to getting back together with Tim next week as we talk together. So that'll be out on Wednesday rather than a day late on Thursday. But, you know, I think you have to forgive us for being one day behind our Wednesday, so we're able to round off our 40 days journey together with us. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tom. And well done to those who've now run 6 kilometres while listening to us.
Or 5 kilometres if you're slightly slower. We're not judging. You're doing more than we are. Me and Tim are both sitting on chairs, I imagine, right now. So, yeah. Have a wonderful rest of the day and week. God bless you. And we will see you at the weekend. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.